Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Madam, our guests have arrived extremely early. I fear this time there are hundreds of them.
That's impossible, darling. That would be the entire village.
The guest crows, madam, for the Negredo ceremony.
That's not until tomorrow, silly. Do try and keep up.
It is tomorrow already, you dizzy witch. Even the shrewdest hellcats like you need a regular bedtime.
Ah, you are so very sweet.
Seriously, madam, get some rest.
Oh.
If men had wings and bore black feathers, few of them would be clever enough to be crows. Henry Ward Beecher.
Yes, good evening. Quickly now. Right this way, please. Oh, please don't swat at them. Do hurry along so that the others at the rear can get into the reading room, too. Please, everyone. Don't dilly-dally. You can see the doorway right ahead of you. A crow poked your eyes. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Eyeball. I can't believe the irony of that name. There we are. Okay. Come along. Oh, only a few got in. Oh my. Circe, save us from too much mayhem. Oh, what an ordeal. Is everyone all right? Well, is everyone relatively all right? Oh, my. Well, welcome to the Midnight Library, my dear guests. I am your high-flying host, Miranda Merrick. My word. Now, please, just move along and calmly walk to your favorite spot. Or pick out a cozy spot if you're new here. We'll have to count and see just how many crows got in here with us. Oh, and for Circe's sake, do not make eye contact with the perching ones. Or the walking ones. If you are new, welcome. I'd like to assure you that this is a rare happening. We don't usually have a mad flock of crows swooping in over the arriving guests' heads. Although that would be nice. They usually just come in through the open windows. The crows, not the guests. But I do believe that they are... there's a reason for their insistent visit this evening. More on that later, perhaps. For now, let's all just try to relax and be at home with our lovely pitch-black feathered friends, shall we? maybe don't think so much about their ultra-super-sharp beaks and slicing claws and their tremendous speed and accuracy. If you feel at ease and confident enough, you could certainly nonchalantly stroll up to the hospitality tray. It was brought up early before you arrived by our Natasha in order to avoid any awkward encounters with the crows. Natasha prefers the coolness of the lower floors, and the visiting crows generally stay for a little while in the upper rooms, so they're apart. The fare this evening is very odd, I'm afraid. Perhaps slightly more odd than usual. To begin with, all of the selections are various shades of yellow, whether they are naturally yellow in color or not. yellow fruit, even the strawberries, yellow biscuits, tarts, muffins, and the like. And all are flavored with either pungent citrus or tangy vinegar. There may even be some vinegar-pickled eggs of some sort. I do believe this is Natasha's way of showing the crows just who's in charge of the food around here, and that they'll get no charity from her. Crows, it will behoove you to know, cannot see the color yellow normally. It jangles their fiery petite brains. And they absolutely detest the smell and flavor of citrus and vinegar. I know that I threatened... I threatened. What was I thinking? I thought of counting the number of crows that managed to get into the reading room with us here. But not only would we probably arrive at an inaccurate sum because... Well, you can see they're still moving about. And some are undoubtedly perched where you cannot see them. Some of you, the more superstitious among you, may believe that counting crows is a very bad idea. This is because there's hardly a culture, current or ancient, that doesn't revere the presence of crows. And they have superstitious beliefs about their numbers. These capricious birds have long been believed to be the harbingers of ill fate, tragedies, and death. they carry with them an air of daunting darkness, mystery, and somehow haunting or forbidden knowledge. They have a distinct look and demeanor that tells you they understand things that you do not. They are certainly famous for their intellect and curiosity, and for acts of ornery trickery. No wonder they're here. crows are members of the corvid family of birds, a shifty, bold group of birds directly related by DNA
that closely includes magpies, jays, and ravens. Their origins have been traced back to the remote South Pacific island of New Guinea, and they are believed to have evolved there 30 million years ago. There is truly so much to love about these crafty creatures. We love them, and I will try to include as many frightful facts and as much luscious lore as we have time for. Now, you know, my lovelies, that we have our own unique Master Crow here, Professor Steerpike, who is an extremely wizened and much loved, almost family elder. Modesty and respect prevent me from disclosing his actual age, but crows in general, nearly like the beautiful ones keeping us company here, typically live only 7 or 8 years in the wild, with some reports of them reaching their mid-teens, depending on their geographical location. However, this is conflicting information to some degree because crows are known to thrive in captivity, which extends their lifespan up to roughly 30 years. Although owning crows, at least in the U.S., is not legal without a permit. Whatever. Two wonderful but little-known facts that I love about crows are that, one, they tend to walk as humans do, placing one foot in front of the other instead of opting to hop on both feet as most birds do. And B, crows are talented mimids and can convincingly mock other birds and animals, and also speak in nearly the exact voice of any human. The exact voice of any human. Now, I'm sure that being as clever as you are, you already know that the collective noun for a flock of crows is referred to as a murder of crows. But deliciously, they can also be spoken of as a brood of crows, if the group is all female. And another favorite of mine, a cauldron of crows, which no doubt refers to their sometimes seen circling, swirling, or daunting flight patterns. The reason a collective of crows is referred to as a murder comes to us from folklore, and folks long ago observed and believed that crows would gather to actually hold court in their shrewd black-feathered robes to pass judgment on the conduct of another crow, and that one found to be guilty by a jury of his peers for possibly stealing food, eating eggs, or stealing a mate, could be sentenced to death. And there just may be some historic truth to this, because it's not entirely unheard of for a crow or several crows to kill another crow. The appearance of crows for centuries and likely even thousands of years has been direly feared by humans as omens of death, decomposition, and disaster. And for good reason. Crows are merciless scavengers who will eat the dead or even the dying. They are known to source sustenance from found bodies, the dead and dying on battlefields, and those found in disturbed or shallow graves. Crows are also known to attend their own version of funerals, appearing in a sorrowful crowd around the deceased as a troop of mourners. But then later, some may eat him. I won't say waste not, want not. Tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by Professor Steerpike. He's just your friendly village crow, with something odd about him. He could say what you should know, and you would never doubt him. See him roost on the church steeple, a lone and dreary ghoul. Hear him call down to the people, to one who is death's fool. One for death, isn't that right? That's how the old rhyme goes. Or just ask Professor Steerpike. He's one wise crow who knows. See him above you in the air. Don't take this as your doom. But if he swoops and ruffles your hair, you'd best pick out your tomb. He taught a priest and local cleric how demons work and why. He taught a certain witch named Merrick to get on a broom and fly. Dear guests, you are welcome to interact with, or even to commune with, our Professor Steerpike, if you are compelled to do so. Although I cannot guarantee your satisfaction, I can tell you that he can be found in Phantom Forest, of course. Perching on the rooftops in the village doing omen work, and he also attends funerals as directed by Father Philbrook, as you've no doubt heard in past readings. Professor Steerpike can be coaxed down by soft circular chanting, also by the recitation of the ancient and sacred Corvid spell poem, if you know it. And French fries. He loves French fries. Now, crows are found on every continent of the Earth except Antarctica, and I'm with them in this choice. Their enduring presence is why nearly every culture and society has some kind of mythology or fables about them. Celtic myths portray the crow as the portent of omens and the symbol of wisdom. The Celts have a crow goddess, the triple goddess Morrigan, who may be seen as a beautiful woman, with the sleek black bird perched upon her shoulder. Or she may appear in the form of three crows arriving at once, a sure sign that the goddess is present, or that someone should expect a fateful visit from her. In much of European folklore, both witches and wizards are believed to easily be able to transform themselves into ravens or crows, to stealthily travel, or to vanish away as the birds to escape harm or capture. Did I ever tell you that I have a Welsh grandmother? Well, I do. In Africa, they have striking, pied, or black and white crows that look similar to magpies. The birds are primarily black and look as though they're wearing a white vest over their black wings. Believing that crows possess helpful intelligence, there's charming African folklore that the crows acquired their bright white markings by having a little ring of fat looped or tied around their necks by the wives of bushman hunters. It has long been told that the women would send the keen-eyed birds far out into the bush to look for their husbands, who were late returning after a long day hunting. In an act of kindness, the worried women would gift the black crows with a string that had been dipped or caked in pale fat, and place it around their neck to ensure they had something to eat as they flew the vast distance searching for the hunting men. In time, the white fat permanently stained the black birds with their bright markings. What a charming story. And in Native American lore, the jet black crow was once a most beautiful, brilliantly colored, rainbow-feathered bird. A songbird with the most enchanting song. The Lenape people tell of how the world was sunny and warm all of the time in the past. Then, the snow spirit arrived in the world and coated the land with deep snow, freezing the lakes and ponds, bringing struggles and death to the animals and people. The people gathered and held a council meeting to discuss what could be done to persuade the spirits to do away with the snow spirit. They elected to send their most lovely bird, the Rainbow Crow, to ask the great creator for help. The beautiful bird flew straight up into the sky, a journey of 3 days to reach the heavenly realm of the creator, where he sang out his most beautiful song for the god, and begged him to send the snow spirit away to save the world from the frigid cold. The creator was much pleased with the magical bird, but said that he could not change the nature of the snow spirit. He could, however, gift the world with the element of fire. The god placed a bright flaming torch in the Rainbow Crow's beak and told him to deliver the fire back to the people to warm them and to protect their animals from the freezing cold. The bird happily obeyed the god and flew the long way back down to his people. But during his flight, the soot from the fire charred his brilliant plumage black, and the smoke entered his throat, forever damaging his lovely voice, leaving only his croaking, crackled caw. The crow proudly delivered the life-saving gift of fire to the people, sacrificing all of his beauty so the world would be warm. This is why these people will never kill a crow. They say to this day, if you look closely now at the black feathers of any crow, you can still see the dark iridescent gleam of his once bright rainbow feathers showing through. Crows are known for their intellect and fascinating ways. They not only know how to do some basic counting themselves, they've been known to simply watch humans open latches and then just to copy their motions to do the same. They not only use rocks and twigs as tools to solve problems, they've also been known to fashion a specific tool out of a stick or wire they've found, and then to keep their tools hidden away in a cache of items they've been collecting. Crows have been spotted engaging in playing just for fun. There's a video to be found of a crow who's found a plastic bottle cap big enough for his feet to fit inside. He flies to the top of a sloped metal rooftop with the cap in his beak. He puts it down and jumps onto it with both feet, and then slides like a child on a sled all the way down the icy roof, over and over again. Crows are also known pranksters who fly down and peck cattle and horses on their tails to goose them along for fun. And one animal rescue and rehab farm reports the crows learned to mimic the sound of the worker who called the chickens out to be fed. And when the crows were bored, they called the chickens to watch them race out, clucking and looking for their food. And when there was none, the chickens returned to their huts, only to have the crows call them back a minute or two later. It's been proven that crows recognize and remember human faces. So if you were to accidentally, or goddess forbid, purposefully harm or behave rudely to one of the birds, especially any here on the grounds, say by shooing them away from a feast they are partaking of, they will remember you. They will swoop, harass, and harangue you any time or place they see you. They will even, somehow, inform others that you are a nuisance or danger and convince them to assist in their attacks against you. How admirable. But there is, of course, a more clandestine call for crows. Their relation to witches and the underworld is not to be ignored. What I'm about to tell you is all folklore, myth, and the stuff of legends, and baloney, of course. A long time ago, or maybe not all that long ago, crows were said to protect witches and to inform them of what they witnessed on their errant journeys. The black birds can sense danger and will warn a witch that her enemies are planning or set to pursue her. Some tales tell of the crow being a messenger across the veil between life and death, a visitor or go-between in this world and the next. A crow may tell a living witch secrets and instructions from her long-dead grand elders in the great beyond. This is why you often see witches, portrayed with crows in their close company. So how, theoretically, would crows serve witches in their spells and rituals, theoretically? I hear you thinking. I will answer you, my lovelies. Theoretically, a crow who is named, one who is a partner or a familiar of a practicing witch, will give its ebony feathers for the witch to use to focus her magic. The feathers are useful in meditative or trance states as the witch transcends this mortal plane. The witch may use the feathers in conjunction with a scrying mirror, or in shadow work and dream rituals. In rare instances, The gifted black feathers are used as tools in incantations, burned in smoke ceremonies, or sewn into sachets for spells of protection, or even worn in the witch's hair, or kept on a necklace close to the witch's skin. In an ever-present, sacred bond between myself and the crow. You know what I mean. There is yet another aspect of all of this lovely bleak bird talk I thought should be included for you, my dear guests. It's an image. Some might say a trope that I'll bet when I say it, you'll only need to think for a split second to confirm that the image has been silently tucked away in the quiet recesses of your mind. Perhaps you've seen it in a forgotten artwork or passed by it in your dreams. You thought you glimpsed it in Phantom Forest, where nothing is what it seems. This image is that of a solitary black crow perched upon a human skull. I see your eyes light up, right? You know this image. But why? How is this so familiar to you? Let's skip that bit for a moment. Let me tell you simply that the image of the crow standing upon an ashen human skull is referred to as the Negrito. Its history is steeped deep in alchemy. The combining of the two beings, the living crow and the dead head, working in Congress together to aid the seeker in the first stage of alchemical work. The first step in the age-old Azoth symbol spoken of as the work, Negrito, or the blackening, a calling to the dark goddess, a first dip into the underworld, labeled in Latin, visita, meaning you, the visitor. Now, on the first step of your journey into the black phase, Negrito! Those who fail will never return and perish in the pit. Those who succeed will join me as we reign and rule and enslave the so-called righteous of this foul-infested village. Whoa. Oh, my. Oh, I am so sorry. Oh, like I said, this is all just hooey. Just goofy people from the past trying to pull a blanket of hocus pocus and jiggery pokery over your eyes to spook you for fun. I really need to get some more sleep. Well, that's definitely all we have time for this evening. I almost forgot to count them correctly. One for sorrow, two for mirth, three for a wedding, four for birth, five for rich, six for poor, seven for a witch, I can tell you no more. Please, my lovelies, stand up gently and quietly. Wait for Mr. Darling to don his hat. That will be your signal to follow him safely out of the library. Good night, my dear guests. Good night.
Madam, you're not seriously going to wear that to the degrado ceremony?
Why not? Besides, the crow and the deadhead are the stars of the show, and I've searched every sacred alchemy book we have, and there's no restrictions on what the witch wears.
I know you need more rest, but madam, footy pajamas?
Yes, they're lacy, black velvet footy pajamas. Come on, let's go.
All right, then. Ladies first. Madam, your back flap is open.
Like I said, darling, there's no restrictions on what the witch wears. The Midnight Library is brought to you by our spooky lovely patrons. We would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. If you are enjoying your visits and would like the Midnight Library to remain open, we ask that you please join our Patreon for a small contribution. Here's how it works. You carefully investigate our Patreon page, find the tier that suits you to a T, and make certain that your notifications are on. Then the direct lines of communication between you and I will open. Then I will welcome you directly, and you will receive your mostly non-hexed Midnight Library goodies in the post. You'll get a signed letter, stickers, bookmarks, and even your own special library card. The higher the tier, the more extensive your goodies will be. There's also early ad-free readings and personal postings from inside my quarters in the library. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our wonderfully weird merch can be found at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.